I invite you to turn in your Bibles to the book of 1 Samuel, and we're going to begin anew and return to our series, working our way through the Old Testament. We started last spring, and we're going to continue it now this fall. Well, we took the summer off, and so maybe you've forgotten, but the flow of Scripture is that God started something. He created the earth, but humanity rebelled and fell and turned away from God. So God intervened, and he started doing his thing. He started laying out and unfolding his plan of reconciliation, his plan of redemption. And it was one of those processes that sometimes we get stuck in the middle of, and we don't think about how the little pieces fit together. But here's the big picture. God wants men and women, boys and girls, to hear his voice, to have spiritual ears, and to say yes to God's plan for their life. And then live out their days being part of the expansion of and the unfolding of God's plan of redemption. Each and every one of us, each and every one of you, are called to hear and obey, to listen and do, to receive from him and then walk it out, to be experiencing the reality of God's ongoing work in each of our lives. One of the sad things is that so often people think that, well, God's up there somewhere and I can basically ignore him and just do my own thing. And we're going to see that unfold in the book of Samuel as some of the characters have that mindset and where that gets them and where they end up with that. God wants to start a process of redeeming the world and involve us in it, whether it's sending Abraham to start a whole new line of people who will walk in God's promises and walk in his covenant, or whether it's calling Moses to come up and be the one who leads the people out of captivity and into the promises of God, or whether it's using Joshua to conquer enemies and establish new territory, or whether it's God using a series of judges. But why was that series of judges so necessary, but also such a time of great tragedy? It's because the people were doing their own thing. A generation would come to the front, a new generation would be raised up who didn't hear God, didn't know God, didn't follow God. So judge after judge was raised up to bring the people into an experience of God's salvation, to rescue them from their physical enemies, and it was supposed to be a rescuing from their spiritual enemies. But as you read through the series of judges, it seems like the cycle gets worse and worse and worse as the people of God turn further and further away from following God. The book of Judges reads like a tragedy as we see one negative thing happening after another. But there's still hope. We ended our spring series of the Old Testament with the little book of Ruth, where there's a glimmer of hope. While everything looks so bad and it seems like society is heading down into this cesspool of turning away from God, there's a glimmer of hope as God is faithful in the midst of broken people, in the midst of people who have compromised agendas. God is there at work. And when we turn to 1 Samuel, we come upon three characters there. Samuel himself, and then Saul, and then David. Today we'll focus just on Samuel, and then pick it up the next 2 weeks with more details about Saul and David. But I want you to recognize how God was at work. When things are dark, when things seem to be going the wrong direction, when it seems like the people around us and even those who are closest to us are not truly walking out faith in God, God is still going to be working there. Sometimes we see it, and sometimes it's behind the scenes. As we look at the first chapter in the book of Samuel, we see that it's God bringing Samuel into existence. Oh, his mother was unable to conceive. Once again, a woman in the Bible was having difficulty conceiving and having a child, and she's praying out to God, Lord, give me a son, give me a child. She's actually in the temple one time praying, and the priest there, Eli, thinks she's a drunken woman and unable to control herself, so she's mouthing her prayer and crying and distracted and distraught before the Lord. But the woman, Hannah, explains, "No, I'm not drunk. I'm just so desperate for God. Desperate for God to do something. Desperate for God to meet my needs. Desperate for God to lift me out of my misery." And so we see Samuel begins as the product of earnest prayer, of deep concern, of deep desire for a touch of God. The second chapter is Hannah's prayer and response. As God grants her wish and gives her a child, Hannah has this prayer. We read part of it as our call to worship. But these types of things are put where they are in Scripture to give us indications of God's major theme for this time that we're looking at, or in this case, for the rest of this book. What is it that God wants to say in this book of Samuel? Chapter 2, verse 1 reads this way. "Then Hannah prayed and said, 'My heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord my horn is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one besides you. There is no rock like our God. Do not keep talking so proudly, or let your mouth speak such arrogance. The Lord is a God who knows, and by him deeds are weighed. The bows of the warriors are broken, for those who stumble are armed with strength. Those who are full now hire themselves out for food, but those who are hungry are hungry no more. She who was barren has borne 7 children, but she who has had many sons pines away.'" Did you catch that one sentence? Did you catch those words revealing the grave sin that was going to plague the people in the next chapters? The grave sin that had plagued the people for the preceding hundreds of years in the time of the judges? The sin that sometimes reaches up and tries to entangle you. It's a sin of pride. Sin of arrogance, the sin of thinking we can make it on our own, the sin of thinking we really don't need God, the sin of thinking we can get through life without having to hear God every day, the sin of thinking that God could be pushed aside and put on the back burner and we can go about doing our own thing. We don't really need God. The sin of pride, the sin of arrogance. And as we turn the pages, we're going to see that sin on display. And one of the ways we're going to recognize this is how it's contrasted with this boy who heard God, the boy Samuel. This character is part of our history, and he's depicted here in Scripture for us as an example. We want to be like Samuel. We want to be someone who hears God. In fact, his name is Heard of God. And so as you think about your own identity, you want to recognize that God is calling you to be a Samuel, one who hears God, one who listens to God, one who pursues the voice of the Lord. So often we forget our identity. So often we forget who we are. So often we get caught up in the world and other things distract us. I love this story that Randy forwarded yesterday. It was about a missing woman. She is part of a tour bus going through Iceland, and they stopped at this volcanic canyon to get out and walk around and tour this neat geological feature on that crazy island of Iceland. But word got out that there was a missing woman. And so they set up a search party, and they searched till 3 a.m. for this woman. And it turns out that woman was actually searching for this missing woman the whole time. She had changed her outfit and was going about her thing, and suddenly someone said, "You know that woman wearing the red jacket? We haven't seen her for a long time," or whatever color it was. And so everyone started searching for that woman. Well, the woman didn't recognize the woman in a red jacket because she now was wearing her blue sweater or whatever it was. And so she was searching for herself till 3 a.m. But that's what's happening with so many of us. We don't know who we really are. Friends, Samuel is here to give us a portrait of what we really are, what our true identity should be. So So maybe you could breathe a little prayer right now. Lord, let me be a Samuel, one who listens to you. One who listens to you. Chapter 3 describes this scene of the boy Samuel being called by God. He was sleeping in the tabernacle, or one of the rooms that was built and attached to it. Eli was over there. Samuel's over there. God starts speaking, and Samuel doesn't know who it is. So he runs to Eli and says, "Here I am." And Eli just sends him back, and "I didn't call you. Go back to sleep." And it happens 3 times. Fortunately, Eli has enough spiritual sensitivity to coach the young Samuel and say, "Maybe it's God. If God's calling you, then say, 'God, speak. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening.'" And that's the role of each of us who have gone a little further along in this spiritual journey, is that we can coach the younger ones. And we can coach the ones next to us. And we can say to them, be listening for God's voice. And when you sense it, be open to it. And say, "God, speak to me. I'll listen to you, God." If you have children, that's your assignment as parent, to teach them to listen to God. To coach them, to say, "Speak, Lord, I'm listening." And to describe themselves as God's servant. How many of our young people are growing up around us with this sense of their identity being one who's a servant of the Lord, called to listen to the Lord? Satan hates it when a Christian understands his true identity. And Satan works overtime to confuse us and distract us and lead us astray. And so we keep being called back by Scripture to be humble before the Lord, to be ones who bow down before the Lord, ones who recognize our being servants of the Lord, ones who minister before the Lord. It says of the little boy Samuel that he bowed down before the Lord. Now, your English might say he ministered before the Lord, or other places might say he worshiped the Lord, but the imagery is of the word, and the root of the word is bowed down. Someone that when God shows up, or when God is thought about, is willing to humble themselves enough to get low. And to say, "Lord, I am lowering myself to recognize your greatness. That you are the high and mighty one. You are the lifted up one. And I'm humble before you. I'm a servant of yours. I will worship you." Which is a declaring that you're great and I'm the created one. I'm the creature and you're the creator. We humble ourselves before the Lord. That's what it means to worship Him. So what happened? God called. Samuel didn't know who it was. God called. Samuel didn't know who it was. Eli coached, trained, instructed, and told the boy to listen. And God called again, and Samuel heard it as from the Lord. Wouldn't it be a tough first message to get a message like Samuel got? God speaks, Samuel hears, and it's a message of judgment upon Eli, his mentor, his coach. One of the miracles of this passage of Scripture is that when the morning came, Eli was woke up by Samuel running into his room and saying, "Did you call me?" And he has to keep sending the boy back. "Stop waking me up. It's not me. Maybe it's God. Listen for God." In the morning, what does Eli do? He says to Samuel, "Tell me what God said." He didn't discount the little boy. He didn't say, "Oh, you just had a crazy dream. Forget about it." He didn't say, "Oh, you're just a little kid. What you sense or perceive is of really no value." No, Eli himself was humble enough to say, "I need to know what God said to Samuel." There's a lesson for us who have got a few more years on under our belt. A humbleness of being willing to say, "God speaks to kids. And I want to know what He's saying to the kids." One of my fond memories is of a teen prayer retreat on the shores of Lake Erie. During this teen prayer retreat, we were teaching kids how to listen to God and how to receive insight as to what God might be saying. And one of the practice sessions, the teens were in groups of four or five around the room, and the kids were trying to listen to God and asking God to give them insights, and then they were sharing what they thought God might be saying to the different ones in the room. And one of the girls who was new to the group, new to our ministry, not real far along in her spiritual journey, but she got this picture in her mind of me. And as she described that picture, I think it was of me on this stage, in this room. Now, this was many years ago. But as she described it, she said, I see you in this setting. And it didn't match my current church at all. And I moved to another church in between that church and this church, and it really didn't match that one either. But as I think back on it, and how what she said, she saw about me, it looked a lot like this room. Now, could God speak to a girl who's new to the faith, who's not real adept yet at listening to God or sharing what he heard, what she heard from him? I think she can. I think God can work that way. And I believe God wants to work in us in that way. So if you are in single digits or an age with a one in front, I want you to hear something from us. We need you to hear God and to tell us what you think God is saying to us. The people of Israel were led by a boy who then grew up to continue to listen to God. The people of Israel were rescued, you could say, because of a boy who heard God and people listening to him as he described what God was teaching him. It says at the end of this chapter, after Samuel's calling and his responding to God, it says in chapter 3, verse 19, the Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and God let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. And Samuel's word came to all Israel. God was at work. He called a boy. He taught the boy to listen. God continued to speak. Now, if you're in that age group where you've got a single digit or an age with a one in front of it, hear this. Samuel pursued God diligently. There was a recognition on Samuel's part that if God gives me a word, I need to handle it with great care. It says, God let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. So if Samuel is expecting God to do that, Samuel's going to be careful about what he says, careful about what he does, careful about how he speaks God's word. So I challenge you young people to be having a high sense of reverence as you seek to hear God's voice. Because if God says something to you, you don't want to say, you know what, God, I don't feel like that one is one I want to hang on to. I'm going to toss that one aside. If we toss a word of God to the side, we shouldn't be so arrogant as to expect that next time we're needing a word, God's going to give it. Every word that God gives is to be handled carefully. And it then becomes the avenue opening up for us to receive another word from God. If you want to stop hearing God, then just disobey the last one you got. If you want to stop hearing God, just disobey the last one you got. And we're going to see that lived out as we move through this chapter, as we move through the chapters of this book, because we see it with Eli and his sons. We're going to have a contrast between Samuel and Eli's sons as they turned away from God, as they stopped obeying God, as they chose not to listen to the words of God, as they put themselves ahead of God's will, as they took advantage of their position. Hophni and Phinehas, great names for guys that chose not to listen to God, who chose to try to enrich themselves and put their desires and sensual needs before their desire to obey God. And we'll see it lived out again as we turn further into the book and we see Saul raised up as king, who chose to do what he thought would further his agenda, what he thought would help him get ahead, what he thought would help the people think highly of him. And he chose not to obey the clearly revealed word of God. Then we're going to see that contrast at the end of the book with David, who humbled himself to obey God. See, Samuel was raised up for us almost as a Christ figure, as someone who lived out a life somewhat like the Lord Jesus Christ, a bit of a shadow of Christ in the Old Testament, someone who humbled himself, heard God, said God's word, did God's things. Will we be people like Samuel? In 1 Samuel chapter 2, there's a bit of an insight into God's agenda. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 35. Eli gets a visitor. A man of God came to Eli. He's not listed. He's not named. Just a man of God came to Eli, says in verse 27. And then there's this indictment that is brought against Eli because of the poor job that he did in following God and raising his own sons. It says in verse 28, I chose your ancestor out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to go up to my altar, to burn incense, to wear an ephod in my presence. I also gave your ancestors' family all the food offerings presented by the Israelites. Why do you scorn my sacrifice and offerings that I prescribed for my dwelling? Why do you honor your sons more than me by fattening yourselves on the choice parts of every offering made by my people Israel? Therefore, the Lord, the God of Israel, declares, I promised that members of your family would minister before me forever, but now the Lord declares, far be it from me. Those who honor me I will honor, but those who despise me will be despised or disdained. The time is coming when I will cut short your strength and the strength of your priestly house, so that no one in it will reach old age, and you will see distress in my dwelling. Although good will be done to Israel, no one in your family line will ever reach old age. Every one of you that I do not cut off from serving at my altar, I will spare only to destroy your sight and sap your strength. And all your descendants will die in the prime of life. What an indictment. What a speaking out of the judgment of God. And why did it happen? Because Eli chose not to honor the clearly revealed word of God and did not train his own sons to follow after God and affirm the importance of doing what God had called them to do. Verse 35 reads, but I will raise up for myself a faithful priest, one who will do according to what is in my heart and my mind. I will firmly establish his priesthood, his priestly house, and he will minister before my anointed one always. That's the prophecy that extends over you and me. That God is going to raise up that type of perfect priest. One who will forever minister in a way that the Heavenly Father desires, in accordance with the heart and mind of God. And it's that type of perfect priest who is the only one who could rescue you and I. As we look to the Old Testament, we're looking for the shadows of Christ. We're looking for the insights into who God would raise up to rescue us. We're looking for those foreshadowings of the work of the Messiah. And as we see him in his humility, in his obedience, in his gentleness, but in his leadership. We see him performing the priestly role, but also the prophetic role of speaking out the word of God and one day ruling as king. We see the threefold offices being carried out by one figure, the Lord Jesus Christ. Little bits and pieces reveal how we should respond. We respond like a little boy with big ears to hear God and do his will. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we admit that at times we don't listen well. We just confess that right now. We ask you to forgive us for not listening well. And we ask you to forgive us for sometimes even doubting that we could hear you. Samuel didn't know how to hear you. The word of the Lord was rare at that time, it said. But you started speaking anew, and you used a little boy to break open the floodgates so that your voice could be heard in the land of Israel again. We want to be like Samuel, who is trained to speak a voice to you of opening up, a voice of saying, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." And then we invite you, God, to speak your word into our hearts. Use your already revealed word, the Bible, to attune our spirit so that we're listening well to you. As you spoke through your word, Lord, continue to speak into us. Continue to tell us what your will is. Continue to give us those messages of hope. And even, Lord, we're willing to receive those messages that are sometimes of judgment. Lord, let us handle every single word of yours with great care. Let us do what you show us to do. Let us obey what you tell us to do. So that there's an ongoing record, Lord, of one act of obedience after another. As we receive a word, we do it. As we receive a word, we do it. As we receive a word, we do it. Lord, as you're speaking to us, speaking to the youngest of us and the oldest of us, let us live out our lives so that others are brought to you. You said you would raise up a faithful priest who does what your heart and mind desire. Lord, do that this day as well. What you've done in the past, do in the present. That we might walk in a relationship with this perfect priest, this one who perfectly does the heart and mind of the Father, so that we then might do the heart and mind of the Father. As you used Samuel, use us. We pray in Christ's holy name.